This is CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to it. This is CliffCentral.com. I actually nearly started it off by saying this is Untapped Talent. That's when you know you're too comfortable in the chair. My name is Siya Sangweni-Finn, and thank you so much for having us on. For the next hour or so, I have a PR impresario. You know, that's like your fancy title, right?
I do like it. I think I'm going to change my business card.
To what? PR impresario?
Yes.
Carly Ritz, PR impresario. So you're here with me. Thank you so much for joining me, Carly.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you're like my half for the next of this, and we'll be counting down the biggest PR stories of 2015. What a year it was, hey?
Yeah, well, we're definitely going to have a look at the hits and misses.
Yeah.
Some went really well and some really caused a stir. So, so we'll take a look at that. But before we kick off, I just want to tell you, I want to ask you actually.
Yeah.
Who said, Sia, this is your question for the year, your moment.
I feel like I need a clock. It's on a game show vibe. It's something intense. Yes.
Who said that the only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about? The only thing worse than being talked about
is not being talked about. Well, it wasn't Bill Cosby. Because Bill Cosby has had enough of being talked about. Could possibly be Caitlyn Jenner this year.
No, it's the words which were taken from Oscar Wilde really, I think, summarize for me how what I believe in PR. Some people, you know, the minute something goes wrong and they're on social media, and we'll talk about how social media plays such a crucial role in PR hits and misses these days. And they call it bad PR. But I must be honest, I really don't believe in bad PR.
Okay, so first and foremost, though, let's just go about defining what PR is. In your words, what did you have to say public relations is all about?
So it's reputation management. Public relations or public relations teams are the guardians of a brand, and the way that that brand is positioned or perceived is largely their responsibility. So when it comes down to, you know, major decisions, branding decisions, different campaigns, you know, you have to look at everything, not only from a sales and business perspective, of course, that's very important, but also from a branding, positioning, image perception. What is this campaign going to make, what kind of feelings is it going to elicit? Is it going to make people feel warm and fuzzy towards the brand? Is it going to shock people? And I think, you know, the campaigns that we're going to discuss really do delve into those. But I think, you know, just from the outset, I don't believe in bad PR.
Really?
I mean, at the end of the day, we're going to chat about woolies and we're going to chat about frogs and we're going to chat about slavery. But I'm still buying my cut watermelon from Woolies. You know, and
that hasn't affected you, doesn't change anything.
No, and you are dressed from head to toe in...
Well, I don't want to be judged on the onsense, so let's get onto it a little later then. Yeah.
Okay.
Wait, on that note though, what's the difference between PR and marketing?
So marketing is really, it's marketing is usually above the line. It's big billboards, it's advertising, it's huge noise, getting things out there and really creating a big buzz. Whereas PR has become, although today communications is all integrated and everything is part of everything, you can't really do things in silos. But public relations really is getting under the skin of people. It's changing their opinions without them even realizing. It's a lot more subtle. It's below the line and through the line. But as you'll see, as you continue on your journey as the next PR impression.
Oh, look at you now, giving me the honor.
Communications is very integrated and it all fits in. But I am going to give you some quick PR do's and don'ts before we start.
I feel like I need a notepad out right now. I'm ready to make notes.
And you'll see how these will fit in with some of the campaigns we're going to talk to. But the first thing I'm always going to, you know, my mother always said, be prepared. You know, make sure you shave your legs.
Well,
be prepared. If you know, thank you, Mama Ritz. If you're anticipating something, if you're going on a date and you're anticipating it's going to end well or badly, just shave your legs. And I think that a lot of brands get that right and a lot of brands get it wrong. If you are going to go with an explosive campaign, I don't know if you remember earlier this year, Fly Safair launched their R1 campaign.
Yes.
Where you could buy a ticket for R1. If you're going to launch something as exciting as that, you need to be prepared for what could go wrong.
Yeah.
And you know, the website went down. And because they do have quite a good PR and marketing team, they had comments prepared. They had the technical team on standby, and they were armed. They were prepared.
Yeah.
So I think if you are going to whatever your campaign is, and or marketing as well, if you want to do something really edgy or really splashy, rather don't wait for something to go wrong.
Mm-hmm.
You know, be the Grinch yourself and consider everything that could possibly go wrong, and just prepare yourself so that when it does happen, you are ready.
Yeah, so that's internally, you should already be asking yourself the right questions. You should already be anticipating certain reactions and responses.
Absolutely. And sometimes you know that it's going to cause an absolute stir.
Yeah.
But you want to go ahead anyway.
Okay.
And that's when you should just, you know, be prepared for the fallout.
So PR tip number one, be prepared at all times for anything.
Shave your legs.
Shave your legs.
Wax your legs.
Okay, I'll take that down as well. Thank you, Colin.
PR tip number two.
It'll be so interesting to go home tonight, like at the dinner table. So, Sia, what did you learn at work today? Well, I should always carry around like shaving cream. All right, yes.
I think also, again, some get it right and some get it so wrong, is the silence factor. When things blow up,
mm-hmm.
nothing says you're guilty like silence. So huh. I think the quicker you are to respond, to acknowledge, always acknowledge, because yeah. if somebody has an issue, you know, we're going to talk about the H&M campaign, and it was one woman who commented from Cape Town on Twitter that she felt that the campaign only really showcased white women and light black women, and there were no, you know, real examples of South African women. That was one person's opinion, and what they did correctly was that they responded immediately to that person.
But doesn't it work against you sometimes if you respond too quickly? Because I feel like if you aren't really giving it some thought and you're just in panic mode.
Mm. Well, look, I'm not saying in T-minus 20 minutes after she tweeted, but waiting 2 days, you know, to address a problem doesn't bode well. So obviously you'll discuss with your team, are we going to address this in an hour? Are we going to address this in 5 hours? Or are we going to, perhaps what we're going to do is say that we'll be putting out a statement by the end of the day. So that people know
we take this seriously. Nonetheless acknowledging.
We take it seriously. Yeah. We are going to get back to you, but we do need to, you know, to give it some thought. So, yeah, tip number two is if you're found out, if you're called out, you know, say something about it.
Yeah. So be prepared, number one. Number two, acknowledge. Okay.
Yes. Number three, do not be offensive. Defensive. Sorry. Oh, yeah. Do not be defensive. One of the worst things people do, and brands get onto their social media platforms and they just become defensive, dismissing the public and alienating the consumer. So it's like when you're really mad and you get an email and you want to just reply and hit send.
Yeah.
Don't.
To a certain extent, doesn't it also show that you believe in what you did?
Of course it does. But becoming aggressive or insulting towards somebody whose perfect example was the sticky scenario earlier this year. And one woman wrote a blog post about how they were the devil, which was then tweeted by a well-known journalist, and Pick and Pay, you know, immediate response was remove this, please. You know, it's inaccurate. It's offensive,
really?
Which was a mistake because they didn't have all the context. They didn't really think about it. And then they came across, the brand looks guilty.
Yeah.
So that's tip number three. And tip number four, which is linked to tip number three, do not engage in public spats. And we'll, of course, be talking about that.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about the Tinder Twitter tantrum later
on. But I think it's such a tricky, that in itself is a tricky cause. And because it's now the 21st century, everyone is so active on social media. You know, that's another topic on its own, how active a brand should be on social media. Because I now see, you know, with promoted posts on Twitter, for example, you see all of these things on your timeline constantly.
Mm.
You know, you can't help it sometimes.
Well, you know, I mean, obviously these are more in line with traditional PR guidelines. And some things that I'd say, and if you ever repeat them, I'd probably deny it. But communications is an evolving beast. Social media is an evolving beast.
Exactly.
So a lot of the crisis communications plans that we constantly put in place for brands, they're changing.
Yeah.
And they're having to be quite nimble. You know, you guys are in communications as well.
Yeah, you have to move with the times.
Things are constantly changing. You've got to be nimble. You've got to be dynamic and be able to move. It's those that are stuck in their ways. Mm-hmm. No, we can't do X, Y, and Z because it's always been done A, B, C. Those are the ones that are really going to fall behind.
Yeah. Some would argue, what's the point of a press release when you can trend, for example, on Twitter?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, you know, some people still use press releases. It's not black and white. There are shades of grey. Mm-hmm. There are parts of traditional PR communication.
Never mind.
So many. There are parts of traditional communication that some people want to throw out the window.
Yes.
You know, but I think really being able to work with what has worked and what will work going forward is the secret, and time will tell us.
Got it. Okay.
Yeah. So should we have a look at some of those hits and misses.
Those hits and misses. Okay, so the very first one, should we go global or local first?
I think let's start local.
Let's go local. All right, so this one I actually had a personal encounter with, because we went to Woolies with a few colleagues of mine, and we walked in and someone pointed out first, they were like, something doesn't look right there. I was like, what are you talking about? So there were mannequins. Woolies has these darker hues. I'm trying to be politically correct. It's like these darky hued mannequins.
I think that's even one of the words they used in the PR response.
Yeah, I think that's normal.
Darker shade.
Exactly. It's a darker shade. And there were ropes around these mannequins as well. And on some of those ropes, they even went as far as having these heavy looking balls weighing down on those ropes.
Ouch.
So it was a colleague of mine who pointed out first and foremost, they were like, it's the dark hued mannequin. It's the robes. This is a bit too slavery vibe for me.
Hashtag slavery.
Yeah. So that sort of got Woolies up in arms. And Woolies all went. They sided. I think they were justified in their release afterwards in, you know, commenting on this. So even after social media was all abuzz about this, saying Woolies is a bit too, you know, not really the nicest thing you can do. Mm-hmm. Woolies said this in their statement. They said, "Hi everyone, we apologize for the distress caused by the incorrectly assembled RE in-store installation. At the start of any campaign, our stores are taken through the correct direction for installations via a model setup. And so this festive season's installation is supposed to hold Christmas decorations basically suspended off ropes, being supported by the mannequins." And then on the shade of the mannequins, they said the mannequins used in the RE displays are made from recycled materials, which is why they are naturally gray in color. They don't represent a particular race.
Well, you know, I think thumbs up to Woolies for replying.
Okay, so they were prepared. Well, we don't know whether they were prepared or not.
Well, I think it boils down to whether you buy the Christmas bauble story.
Yeah.
First of all, if you as a corporate, as a brand, they churn out these kind of installations on a weekly basis, mm-hmm. and you're suddenly saying it was incorrectly assembled, I think that kind of shows an even, you know, a real inefficiency in terms of the marketing team inside Woolies. You know, they go from Easter to Christmas to Mother's Day. They're constantly busy with mannequins installations. Installations are half done overnight. I'm sure sometimes you're leaving a mall late at about 6 and there's perhaps somebody in the window who's changing the installation.
Yeah.
Whoever decides that you can put a half-baked installation up at lunchtime to have it finished by the next day, I don't know why they're even on the marketing or PR team.
That's why I didn't even buy it, though. I didn't buy the fact that it was, they said, incorrectly assembled. How do you... Was it meant to be ropes on their heads? Were the baubles made? I don't get it. There's no way you can have set that up to make it look better.
My original thinking was perhaps somebody had come up with a slave to fashion kind of campaign that went horribly, horribly wrong. Perhaps it wasn't checked. The story of, it was incorrectly assembled and it was only half done and we weren't finished. And, you know, unless you've got five-year-olds running your marketing and PR department, I really don't buy that. But having said that, people are still shopping at Woolies.
True.
We spoke earlier about the lady who tweeted the frog in the salad. And
Another 2015 huge mess, I think.
People still buy from Woolies. So even though there was massive buzz and people were very, very critical, I would be surprised if, especially around this festive time of the year, it had any impact on the bottom line.
Yeah, so here's a little pro and con of social media. I think as corporate, you now know that one person who experienced one tiny little thing within your establishment, your store, your restaurant, whatever it is, they now have a huge, huge voice, courtesy of social media.
Absolutely.
So it was one person who potentially found the frog. How much of an impact do you think that made in Woolies' case in particular?
Look, accidents do happen. Mm-hmm. I don't know how a frog accidentally gets caught in a salad.
My bigger thing is, was it alive?
No, I think it was dead. I could be wrong. I think it was dead.
Because I don't understand how it could be alive then as well, if it was packaged and sealed.
What would be an interesting thing to audit would be whether or not this woman has shopped at Woolies again.
Yes.
You know, because we were talking about it earlier, I had a bad experience at a fast food chain and I didn't eat there for a couple of months, but I'm back. You know,
so it really doesn't make much of an impact.
Not long term. Yeah. I don't think not to the extent that we think it does. And also remember, something can seem really, really huge on social media. This Woolies slavery thing was really, really big. Until H&M was really big, and then nobody was talking about Woolies because everybody was talking about H&M.
Yeah.
You know, and then popping in at Woolies to buy a rotisserie chicken and an avocado just to add to the salad later when they got home. So it's, you know, like I said, the real tell-all will be if Woolies were to come up in January and say, our bottom line for the festive season
really took a dip.
Yeah, which I doubt is going to happen.
You see, off the top of my head, I cannot remember, you know, going through something because of an establishment and made a conscious decision not to ever go back. And that, I think, is good for a brand. If, you know, regardless of where you are or what happened to you, the fact that people move on, or the fact that your brand is so strong that people can look past it and move on.
Or they can't. That also, I don't think that's bad publicity.
True.
If your brand is so ingrained in society and in human life, and it's done something so appalling that you can't go back to it, that also speaks volume about your brands. But if, you know, maybe we should ask the listeners as well, and anybody out there what they think. Or, you know, even if there are some cases, have you ever been so disappointed in a brand that you've stopped shopping there?
Yeah. So let's do this social media thing that we've been talking about. Exactly. Tweet us at CliffCentral.com, or you can always message us on WeChat. Our official account is Cliff Central. Just tap connect and then message to show, and your message will pop up right in front of our screens here. You know, funnily enough, on that whole Woolies salad thing, other people were saying, well, it should be a good sign that a frog would even be in the salad. That means it's fresh and it's all great. I was like,
you can spin anything, doll.
Exactly. So I think that's good PR on their front. But also on Woolies, though, I think a good PR turn for them was for the fact that I, as a young 20-something in South Africa, still find them cool and relevant. Because I'd have to say, from my personal experience, I grew up, like, my mom would always buy me school shirts from Woolies, and I still to this day think the best PJs are at Woolies, and you get socks and whatnot. So it was, growing up, it was always, my mother's brand was this older brand. There was no cool aspect to it. But the fact that now, as this young 20-something in South Africa, I still look at Woolies and I think of them as cool and current and relevant, because they do fantastic things like on certain shows like Top Billing and Espresso. And then this year in 2015, they went major by bringing Pharrell.
Absolutely.
And creating that whole campaign around that. What do you think of that?
Well, I think, and before we talk about Pharrell, you've raised another interesting point, and it really gives those who are in the PR and communication industry some perspective. One miss doesn't necessarily sink you. So,
true.
You know, yes, the slavery thing was terrible and the frog, but, you know, Woolies came after the frog. Woolies came back with the Pharrell endorsement and the concert and the experience for the consumers and the media. So something also important, you're almost, you know, you're as good as your last race, your last campaign.
I never thought of it that way, but it's so true.
So if your last campaign was great, people will remember that.
Yeah.
But as soon as you do something terrible or something shitty, suddenly that great is no longer applauded. And it swings like that. And yeah. I think that's something to keep in mind. You know, sometimes in our lives we think, oh my God, this is the worst thing that could ever happen. How am I ever going to recover? Call your mother. But, you know,
just keep on moving.
Those swings, they do swing. Yeah, the Pharrell Williams, I mean, really great campaign, great yeah. artwork, great synergy. Must have cost buckets, absolute buckets.
Absolutely.
And from a PR perspective, the you know, there was buzz for days after.
Oh, yeah.
They spoiled the media.
Yeah.
It was really, and you know, something that you know as well in this industry is that our South African media, mm-hmm. interestingly enough, are incredibly spoiled.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in abroad, in New York, in the States, it's similar, but in the UK, journalists, if you get a box of chocolates from a brand, you know, goodness. Trying to bribe a journalist, you know, that's awesome.
I know a brand who took journalists to Mauritius, and I was very, very annoyed. Like, hey,
that
could you have just like
said, exactly. They do that. South Africans are spoiled.
Flew them off to Mauritius for a couple of days just to announce like a new product. I was like,
absolutely.
How is that even? Wow.
So because South African media are spoiled, and we've almost created rope to hang ourselves as advertising, PR and marketing industry,
yeah.
is that they're so spoiled now that you have to be bigger and better.
Oh, yes.
You know, and I think...
like bring in an international act to, you know...
Bring in Pharrell.
Exactly, exactly.
Give the media this exclusive experience. Give them all this money. You know, that I think they were each given 2,000 rand that they could spend in Woolies vouchers and that kind of thing. And, you know, then the rest of us, when we come to having to launch or you know, do something, we like, what now?
Exactly. You know? How about give away free cash?
Yeah.
Let's just give away 200, a quarter of a million rand.
Absolutely. You have to, you know, you've got to, if clients and brands want that kind of buzz, you've got to put the capital behind it. But yeah, I think Pharrell was, I think it's going to be interesting how they sustain that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long the relationship with Pharrell lasts or if he'll be one of various ambassadors coming up. Of course, there is, and it wasn't a very loud critique, but there was the, you know, what about a South African? There was that issue that came up. But again, I'm sure that those PR teams, the marketing teams would have thought about all of that.
But I'll have
prepared.
To say, I knew the campaign was successful when I walked into a Woolies myself and I had that little jingle stuck in my head and I actually considered buying a Pharrell tee for 250 rand. I was like, hold up now. What are we doing for a little grey t-shirt with the tagline, are you with us on it? Because I wanted to just be like Pharrell.
Well, then hashtag the, PR win.
The, you know, the king of cool.
Absolutely.
You want to be seen with that t-shirt. You want to be associated with what he stands for. And that already like ticked 400 boxes for Woolies. So good on them. I think Woolies had a good year and a bad year. But hey, so many other local stories to even deal with. H&M.
Yes. So the H&M one is also another example of a massive budget.
Yeah.
They had, you know, their billboards, I'm sure the above the line was exorbitant. And the anticipation that they created was the opening of the stores.
Yeah.
And all the exclusive, you know, the exclusive deals and the offers. And of course, they gave media. They heard about Pharrell, obviously, and Woolies, and they gave media money to spend, or they gave them all these massive discounts.
And invited so many local celebs as well to the launch. Yeah,
absolutely. And I think everybody got so caught up in the excitement that what was interesting for me was that the critique came afterwards. You know, and it was quite a long, it was about a month between launching the Cape Town branch and the Joburg branch. It was about a 2-week period.
Yeah.
And it was only once the campaign had died down that people then went back to look and obviously pick holes at it.
Yeah.
And that's, of course, where we spoke about earlier. There was a lady, a Cape Town resident, who tweeted that she had noticed that H&M had no black models on their posters at the waterfront store.
Mm-hmm.
And she, you know, she said, please, can you work on that to appeal to everybody? And they came back quite quickly. Again, well done for coming back quickly. I think they came back a little bit too aggressive, though.
What are some of their responses? How do they go about justifying this?
So, and I mean, the one response, which was, oh my goodness.
You don't even have the words for it.
I don't have words. They responded that the marketing plan was one which intended to convey a positive image. Implying, you know, and the question begs, were they implying that black models were not in line positive with this image? And of course, you know, there were a backlash of tweets. They attempted to do damage control by stating that their campaign includes all ethnic groups. But of course, for anyone, if you drove down Rivonia Road,
you'd see all busty blonde walking out of the ocean with
very olive,
H&M.
You know, Mediterranean, olive skin kind models. And it was blaringly obvious.
Uh-huh.
I mean, if you looked at the all those posters, all those billboards, it was, once this woman had called it out, if you hadn't already noticed, it was blaringly
obvious.
But I
don't know if I'm just a unique consumer, but then I look at the intention, and was the intention really, did H&M execs sit in a boardroom somewhere and they said, never, we are not going to have black models there? I think it was just a casting thing.
Yeah, you know, I think, I mean, if it was contrived, well then, hopefully somebody has been fired.
Yeah.
But what can happen sometimes in these massive campaigns, and that's why a lot of the junior people I work with, they get aggro with me because I go on and on about attention to detail, mm-hmm. is that you get caught once you come up with a great campaign, or you're an agency and you've just won the advertising and marketing campaign for this massive international brand, and there's so much excitement and you're brainstorming and you want to get things rolling. We've all been in that really exciting space and things just fall through the cracks. This was a major one. But you know, because for a lot, and you know, maybe there was some kind of international direction. I think a lot of people that I work with locally are very sensitive to the fact that if we're doing a TVC, if we're doing a commercial, if we're doing a poster, we need, you know, even when it comes to quoting without images, when it comes to quoting names in press releases or in stories, you know, we are very aware of keeping it diverse. So, could it have been an error? Could it have fallen through the cracks? Well, I hope so, because otherwise, you know, there's almost no explanation for that.
I just genuinely think it was one of those things that were just overlooked. I don't think they just sat there saying it was going to be intentional. Because on the note of Pharrell, actually, his last album was titled Girl. It was all about representing all of the girls in the world. And there were, like, I think, three models on the cover. And everyone was now saying that, like, oh, no, Pharrell, there's no black woman on there. And he actually said, well, just because they're black doesn't mean they have to have super, super dark skin. But there was a black model on the cover. I think people will always just nitpick and find something or somewhere where you went wrong.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But again, has it damaged the brand? I don't think so. You are
not
top
at
to
all.
Toe in H&M today.
Yeah. This is what I have to say. H&M is strong enough, and it's kind of sad as South Africans that anything international we'll just jump at. You know, I have never bought from H&M before. I was never an H&M person. But the fact that, oh, it's this global brand, and maybe if I just buy from them and then I Instagram a picture later, I'll say I bought from H&M, just like someone in the UK, or just like someone, you know, the Kardashians. Well, Kardashians would not necessarily buy from H&M.
No, they'd be doing, you know, they created their own store, hashtag Dash. Thank you very much.
Exactly. I think it's this whole aspirational thing.
Yes.
And if you just, I don't know what it is, but I think once your brand is so strong that there are certain connotations to it, then you're a four way. That's exactly what you'll always do. iPhones, exactly. It's always Apple. Well, Apple is Steve Jobs and this great visionary. Who knows who the creator of Nokia is, for example. But the fact that, oh, Steve Jobs is part of this, and look at me, I'm also carrying an iPhone. It's kind of cool and quirky of me. So it's all of these things. And actually, I think it's a good thing for the brand.
Yeah. Well,
yeah.
Again, has it affected the bottom line? We don't know.
I do not think so, because every time I walk through Sandton City, for example, and I walk past H&M, I see it packed to the brim, so they are not complaining one bit.
I haven't made it yet to the store.
Yeah.
But
I'll make up a reason.
I can't say, oh, I'm so offended, you know, and take the high ground. I just literally haven't got there.
Yeah.
And Sandton over the festive season is
tourist and crazy central. That's what I call it. Oh, well, yeah. Well, moving on to the next one, right?
Talking about the festive season, and you mentioned this one, which I thought was interesting, was the Associated Media Roadshow that they're doing at the moment with the magazines on the beach.
Yes. So they, the Associated Media Publishing is taking some of their biggest brands out to consumers. So they have, of course, published magazines. So they're taking Cosmo and Marie Claire and Good Housekeeping and House and Leisure magazines. They literally have like a truck devoted to each brand, and they're driving around to different beaches out in the Western Cape, and they're selling their magazines at discounted prices to the people out, you know, just enjoying a day in the sun, etc., etc. And there are two sides of the story for me. One side is, I get it, it's the perfect place, you know, people are just, they have nothing to do on the beach except like soak in this, you know, the sun and take a little dip in the
water.
Yes,
they're preconditioned for that mindset.
Exactly. But on the other side, you know, yeah, of course, they aren't selling like ski wear. So that's kind of, they're in the great vein. But on the other side, it's like, leave me alone.
Yeah.
I'm not on my tablet. I'm not on my phone. I'm not in front of a TV screen. I'm not listening to the radio where you can sort of come into my life. But now you're literally coming face to face to me. I don't know if I like that.
Well, I think first off, I thought that this was a really inexpensive and effective PR activation, for what it's worth. They've got the magazines. They know by middle of month what is still going to sell and what isn't going to sell.
Yeah.
They hired a few trucks in terms of traffic and feet. They know to go to the beaches at the coast. So I think definitely props and heads up or hands up, applaud and all that jazz.
Yes.
For a really inexpensive, low-key, but what I think is quite an effective campaign. Like you said, you know, people are in that mindset of relaxing, and people want to read on the beach. People don't bring their tablets and their phones because they're going to get full of sand. So they'll read a book. And, you know, so if there's a magazine going, if I'm lying on the beach and chilling and I actually don't want to read anything too smart or too challenging, and a Cosmo or a Marie Claire's lying around, I definitely read it.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, then it's the same for the gentlemen who sell ice creams on the beach. You know, you're out in a public place. It's open. It's public space. People are going to try and sell you things. People are trying to sell you things all day, every day, no matter where you are.
I didn't think of that way.
Yeah.
Oh, you're giving me all these pearls. I was like, I didn't see it that way.
Yes, I'm sure that a couple of people, you know, might have been annoyed. How dare you? They'll just say no, thank you, and move on. But for some people, it's really convenient. You know, you're lying on the beach, you're getting a bit bored.
Yeah.
You don't really want to walk up Clifton Stairs to go and, you know, find the nearest shop so you can buy a magazine. So from my perspective, I think that was a really cool campaign.
I'm convinced, no doubt in my mind, they'll, of course, this will be a success.
And look, the fact is also, they obviously keep certain amount of magazines for promotion.
Mm-hmm.
And they were still selling these. So probably a nice little business, you know, increase as well.
Yeah.
But they normally have a lot of these that they give away for free. So, you know, and if it really doesn't work, or they're running low, it's the last day of December and they want to get rid of stock, they might as well give it for free today on the beaches. The reality is that people are still talking about them. Their magazine is still being consumed. It's still going to get taken home.
Yeah.
And you know that once a print publication goes home, it's going to be read by another 2-3 people, depending on the amount of people in that home.
True.
So all in all, I think a really cool hit.
Well, just sorry for the truck driver who has to drive around in this heat and actually literally stop in front of the sea and see everyone galloping away in the waves and you're driving. But other than that, I think good campaign overall. All right, so let us round up the local PR stories with this selfie whole obsession, which is taken up by Samsung, who did a nice spin on it. So what did they get up to?
So in January this year, Samsung ran a really great campaign.
Yeah.
It was the Samsung Selfie Challenge, where they literally, I mean, and they contacted the Guinness World Book of Records and called on South Africa to help them break the record of X amount of selfies recorded in a given period.
Mm-hmm.
I think what is so smart here is that they really capitalized on the currency of the selfie.
It's still so current.
It's so relative. Everybody's doing it. So they took something that means something in the average consumer's day-to-day life, and they built a campaign around it. They also engaged with South Africans' really competitive spirits and the human need to be part of something bigger than ourselves. I don't know if you've ever tried to contact the Guinness Book of World Records, but it's quite a process.
Thank you for thinking of me so highly.
I've never
broken a world record.
There is still time.
Let's take a PR spin on things. 2016 could be my year to break a world record.
You could wear H&M for 365 days.
Maybe I should contact H&M
could then they could then fire the entire marketing and PR department, because you could run that as a single campaign here. See
and break
from Cliff
your
Central
record.
And
exactly.
Absolutely.
Look at you. I was just going to say, can I watch TV for a month straight? Maybe I can do that.
No, come, Babs. You've got to get really creative here.
Yeah, true.
But I think it's quite a process.
Yeah.
It requires, I remember, you remember Jan Bry? He wanted to do the longest, Jan Bry.
Okay.
So you've got to, first of all, get in touch with them. They've then got to come out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a whole bunch of paperwork that you've got to do. There's, an application. So it was a lot could go wrong.
Yeah.
And it was very ambitious. But it was achieved. It was absolutely brilliantly executed.
Yeah.
They used very high footage. Obviously, there was massive pre-hype on social media, on radio, etc. And then, of course, they chose major high traffic areas on the 31st of January, that bit between Christmas, New Year specials, now when people hit the malls, as well as kids going back to school, plus post the January payday.
Yeah.
At, I think it was Canal Walk in Cape Town. Yes, it was. And Sandton City in Johannesburg. And, it was amazing.
Yeah. I think, it's always good when a brand is relevant to the times. This is the whole selfie craze. I mean, if Ellen literally broke Twitter that night at the Oscars when she took that selfie with all the actors and actresses, and if Kim Kardashian herself can release a whole book of selfies, that just shows how, listen, let's give her praise, she's an author now. that just speaks of the times that we're living in. And if I see that a brand is moving with the times and is speaking my language and is interested in what I'm interested in as well, I think that's fantastic and so on the mark as well. Just speaking of Samsung as well, they're doing this campaign with Cliff Central as well, Mixed Talents, where it's conversations about employment and young people venturing into this world. This is a concern a lot of young people have. And once again, when I feel like a brand is speaking my language, I'm more in tune with what they do and I'm more inclined to stay with them. That's brand loyalty.
Absolutely. And that's PR speak. If you can speak in the social currency, you will target that millennial or that riser or that Gen Y person that that you're going for. I think just to wrap it up on the Samsung thing, they did break the Guinness World Record for the most contributions to an online album of self-portrait or selfie photographs in 24 hours. And that record-breaking number of selfies was an astounding 12,598, as officially verified by the team of the Guinness World Records. So I think that was really great. I'm sure that they'll be entering that into some of the local PR marketing awards that we have in South Africa in 2016, which is also an indication that the industry is taken quite seriously in the creative space. And I think they would definitely deserve a win.
Kudos on them. Yeah, so look at that. That was a whole roundup of the local PR hits and misses. More hits than actual misses. So kudos on our brands here.
No, definitely some really creative campaigns.
Exactly.
And, like I was saying earlier, some will go really right and some will go horribly wrong. And myself included, I've really thought some things were, I've had brilliant ideas and executed and they've failed spectacularly. But you learn from those.
Exactly.
And you take those mistakes and you will then implement them into your next campaign, hopefully. I'm pretty sure that the team at H&M will never, ever again, allow any kind of artwork to go through without rigorous kind of scrutiny and checking and balance. So definitely worth, you know, from our failures, we get those lessons. So. Yeah.
So without sounding too cliche, experience really sometimes can be the best teacher.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Or rather ask someone who's screwed up so many times to list all their screw-ups that you can avoid them. And after hours, I'm happy to tell you everything that I've done that's gone completely wrong so that you don't ever have to repeat those.
I think you can just write a book now, The Chronicles of Carly. Carly's Chronicles. Thank you. You can, I'll just be taking 15% away from that. So straight after this, we'll be looking at the global BR hits and misses. This is cliffcentral.com.
What are you doing for New Year's Eve? Join us for the sexiest VIP party at Madison Avenue, Santon's newest nightclub. Cliff Central's taking over the VIP area, so join us as our special VIP and start 2016 on the right note. General admission is 200 Rand, but our exclusive VIP party together with Absolute Vodka is 500 Rand, which includes great music with me, Gareth Cliff O'Neill, Miss Prue and the Cliff Central crew, an outdoor tented area, lots of bars, food, prizes, gorgeous people, and a night to remember. Book now for Cliff Central Rocks Madison at CompuTicket.com. Go to CliffCentral.com for more details and stay tuned for everything you need to know. Be absolute and rock into 2016 with us.
Unreal. Uncensored. Unradio.
CliffCentral.com.
This is CliffCentral.com. Myself and PR guru slash impresario slash she knows everything. That's why I ask the questions. Carly Ritz is joining me in studio as we count down the biggest PR hits and misses of 2015. And just as you think the year's rounding down and nothing's about to happen anymore, everyone's on holiday, Steve Harvey at Miss Universe goes, nah, just not yet. What happened there?
Wow. Sure. I think.
Because I don't even.
It is possibly one of the worst things that could happen. You're a public figure.
Yes.
You are in front of an audience of millions of people. Mm-hmm. And you make. You just cock it up so royally.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think that it's such an interesting lesson in human frailty and in human resilience.
Yeah.
Steve Harvey, I mean, he's been doing this forever. He's not new to the screen. He's not new to the stage, you know. But after all this time, for someone in his stature to make such an error really does show how frail we actually all are,
yes.
How frail the industry is. But I think he was very resilient. He did immediately correct himself or as soon as possible as he could. And, you know, he then apologized ferociously,
yes.
For lack of a better
word. So, firstly, if you have been living under a rock, no offense, if you don't know what happened. Steve Harvey was hosting the Miss Universe pageant, and when he came down to announcing the winner, I don't even know about like the second princess, for example, like the whichever runner-ups. Anyway.
He confused Miss.
Yeah, when he came to the Philippines, moment of truth, he confused what was meant to be the runner-up with the winner.
Correct.
So he called out the wrong Miss whoever. She walked up, which was Miss Philippines, no, which was Colombia, and was actually meant to be Miss Philippines as the winner. So what I don't understand as a person and as a host, Steve Harvey, exactly what are rehearsals for? Like, this is the moment you build up to. Miss Universe is not trying to, you know, change the world. Well, and to a certain extent, they are trying to change the world. But I'm saying, like, you are there for one purpose, and that is to crown a person as a winner of a pageant. You have rehearsals on this. I'm sure they ran you down the cue cards and the moments and the music in the background, etc., etc. To ruin that, I don't know. That's not
yeah.
Really, yeah.
So, I mean, definitely will allow the pageant organizers to relook at their processes.
Mm-hmm.
It's very possible that the name of the winners was only, you know, because it goes through all these vigorous auditing processes and they don't want it to leak. It's very possible that it's not pre-known to the host, which I'm sure is the case with most. You see it at the Oscars and all those Emmy Awards. They act, they are actors, but there's that element of surprise and the winner is.
Yeah.
So perhaps that's something they're going to look at. But I think really, like I said, it shows human frailty and human Resilience.
Exactly. It was just probably caught up in the moment.
However, I still think it was great PR. I think that Miss Universe has not been on the public radar for a very long time.
Oh, yeah.
Beauty pageants in general have kind of really, you know, fallen off the public radar. And of course, now Miss Universe is back in the public eye.
Yeah.
Because now that people are talking about Miss Universe, now there's going to be interviews with the winners. Now True. There's going to be interest in what's
Even Miss Columbia, who didn't get it. Yeah.
Absolutely. There's suddenly all this renewed interest. So definitely a PR miss, but also with a very interesting kind of spin-offs that came out of that one.
What do you think of the fact that Miss Universe actually has backed up Steve Harvey and said, we would consider having Steve Harvey back as a host?
So I think that is such a brilliant brand stance to take. It supports the fact that people are people and that we make mistakes. So I think that is just such a wonderful kind of gesture.
Yeah.
It also kind of shows everyone, you know, a little bit of the humor in it.
Mm-hmm.
I know it doesn't seem very funny, but...
You know, yeah, I get you.
But it's that unexpectedness. It was such a cringeworthy moment that it is a little bit funny.
Yeah.
I really think that Miss Universe realize they were probably very upset in the beginning, but they've probably now, if you go and you look at all the coverage that's been generated, and of course now the story's moved away from Steve to other Miss Universe issues and discussions, I think that they realize, hey, we're on everybody's radar again.
Yes.
So.
Now, I hate to sound like Einstein, and I wish I had it on record somewhere, somehow, somewhere, exactly. But when I heard about this, and I actually said the best way for Steve to recover from this as a comedian is to go to funnyordie.com or do something that is comical about this whole situation. Make a joke and let us move past it. Because if he starts to now constantly apologize, he'll go back onto Twitter and call Miss Philippines Miss Philippians with the huge, huge typo. I'd be very, very disappointed. So I was expecting Steve to do something hugely humorous with this. So lo and behold, on Christmas Day, did you actually see what Steve Harvey did?
No, I didn't.
This is what he tweeted. He picked... He posted a picture of himself with like a huge, you know, Christmas tree, et cetera, et cetera. And he says, Merry Easter, y'all.
I like that.
Exactly. I think that was the best way to recover from it. Steve Harvey, at his core, is a comedian before he went to acting and now hosting shows, et cetera, et cetera. And there were already memes going around of Steve Harvey. I think that was a perfect way to recover. And now I'd actually not take anything away from him hosting once again.
Very nice.
Exactly.
I like that.
Yeah. I think nice, straight, simple, done and dusted.
But of course now the jokes are going to flow.
Mm-hmm.
There was some, you know, the most outrageous headlines now appear on the BuzzFeeds and the Bored Pandas.
Of course.
You know, ISIS behind Steve Harvey's Miss Universe goof. But... Yeah, so I mean, humor is definitely a way that we deal with these kinds of scenarios.
Yeah.
But watch the space. I think this could probably be a very good thing for Steve Harvey's career.
I think it doesn't take away from the fact that as Miss Columbia, I'd be very, very pissed. No offense, Miss Philippines, but I'd be very pissed as Columbia.
Of course.
Would it be too much to ask to be called former Miss Universe? I'd want to be called former Miss Universe.
Or Weekend Special. They did compare all of that to our finance minister debacle as well.
Goodness, that's a whole other PR issue as well. But so many other, you know, big global stories, from VW having to recall some of their cars and with the whole testing saga, to Tinder having this whole Twitter tantrum, even the reveal of Caitlyn Jenner on Vanity Fair and all the hub around that. If you had to pick one standout global story, what would it have to be for you, Carly?
Wow. Look, I think from a lessons perspective, I take a lot out of the Tinder Twitter tantrum.
Mm-hmm.
And for those who don't know, what happened there was a well-known journalist from Vanity Fair wrote about how it's just basically a hookup spot. It was the most perfect opportunity for Tinder to come back with almost an education or awareness type of campaign. They could have highlighted the thousands of couples that have been married as a result, or the thousands of relationships.
True.
And I think, you know, this is what Steve did so well in comparison, was that he was gracious, he was apologetic, he found the humor. Whereas the Tinder, and they made it appear as though some angry intern sitting on the social media just management like desk was going berserk.
Defensive.
You know, really being rude and defensive. It actually turned out to be planned PR. I don't know what on God's earth they were thinking. But it alienated the brand. And, you know, it made the brand look aggressive. It made the brand look, you know, contrived.
Yeah.
So perhaps not the biggest PR fail. You know, it didn't really make global headlines like some of the others do. But I think a lot of really, really interesting lessons that came out of that. For me, I think one of the biggest PR, I don't want to call it a hit or a miss because I don't think I've decided yet, was awarding Caitlyn Jenner with the award that she received not even being a woman for a year.
I don't want to sound Kardashian crazy and crazy with a K in this example.
No, but while I completely get the reasons, I can't make up my mind. I can see why, but
at the same time, I see why it should. Yeah, I get you there.
Yeah, so I think that was, I'm undecided. I think the jury's still out on that one for me.
I think the good thing with Caitlyn Jenner overall, you know, and I read about what Vanity Fair did just in order to get the cover of Caitlyn on their magazine. They had like, they hired the actual security, like the Secret Service, who covers the President of the United States, to make sure that from the shoot, which took place over a couple of months, they took the pictures to the printers, they closed down the whole printing establishment just for the Vanity Fair cover. They loaded the magazines once they were ready. It was such a huge deal. And I think it went so well in my books, because I don't think in that essence a brand can be overexposed. Because if you really go to the crux of why Caitlyn Jenner is even a thing, I hope there's the heart of the fact that she's out there to make a difference in at least one young child's life who is conflicted about their gender identity, and they don't have to go to, you know, a class after school or talk to someone if they're feeling afraid. But all they do is just go on to e-entertainment, and there someone is who looks like them, who understands what they're going through, and who can be able to change their lives. I think then you've done it.
You have, but you've also ensured that your social currency is so relevant.
True.
That you are going to be offered and booked to speak at conferences. I mean, I think they are now post-Christmas filming another, he's continuing to film this Caitlyn journey.
I am Kate.
So I think, not taking away or knocking from what you're saying, but her social currency right now is probably exactly where she wants it.
Yeah, I'm just like, Kate, don't endorse anything now, because that'll take away from me. I do not want to see you giving my mother tips on what mascara she should buy. Just don't. Let's not take it that far.
Well, perhaps drop her an email.
Yeah,
everybody
totally
needs a little bit of PR advice.
She and I are totally on good terms like
everybody
that.
Everybody needs some
Carly,
advice.
Carly, if you had to look at 2016, what do you think are some of the trends we can look out for and expect? Any celebrity reveals, any big deals that might happen in 2016?
I think social media will continue to play a pivotal role in PR, in brand reputation management, and, you know, brand destruction.
Yeah.
I think we will continue to see some interesting stories there. I think specifically for the local market, given the year that we've had with the likes of H&M and Pharrell, we can expect bigger campaigns.
Exactly.
I think people, you know, I'm not necessarily saying they're the most effective, but I think we can look out for bigger ones. However, like the Associated Media, I'm also hoping to see a lot, perhaps less extravagant, more targeted kinds of campaigns that could be executed on the ground as well.
Well, all I'm saying is my email inbox will be open for invitations, and if I just happen to get a free car at an event, I'm not going to complain. Anyway.
See what I can do.
Subtle hint, nudge, nudge right there. Carly, thank you so much for stopping by. Like an hour done and dusted, just like that.
And then I shall see you tomorrow night.
Let us do it. New Year's Eve, CliffRock16, #CliffRock16. Get all your details on cliffcentral.com. And of course, you can book on CompuTicket. Until next year and all its hits and misses, this is myself and Carly Ritz signing out. This is CliffCentral.com.
CliffCentral.com.